Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Week 12 ranks. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia, and happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We hope you're having a wonderful holiday. We're hoping we stuff your faces with pie. We hope that you have wonderful football to watch. You got football on Thursday. You got rivalry college games on Saturday. You got more NFL on Sunday. What a glorious time to be alive. And today, we're going to talk about the rankings. That's right. It's all about the ranks. And to help us do it is, well, the champ. The champ is here. The 2021 best ranker of Fantasy Pros, Billy Muzio, is going to join us here. You can check out his work at Full Time Fantasy as well. And Billy, I know it is heavy as the head that wears the crown, especially around Thanksgiving time. Does that get you anywhere in your own house, like being the reigning defending champion? Does your family even care at all?
Oh, it's actually, I'm so glad you asked this question. So I woke up in the morning, I got out of the shower, and I get a text message from Jody, who's my counterpart over at Full Time Fantasy. He says, "Congrats, man." And I question mark, I haven't checked Twitter yet in the morning. And he sends me the Fantasy Pros article, and I was like, "Oh crap." Right. And then, I get all dressed. I kind of have, you know, I'm all kind of puffing the chest a little bit in the house. I get downstairs and I cook breakfast every morning for the family, and I'm downstairs. My wife kind of comes down about 30 minutes later, and I said, "You know, I don't know how to say this, but I'm kind of a big deal today." And she just starts laughing, and she's like, "Oh God, what happened?" And I tell her, and she's actually happy and congratulated me, but I pulled the old Will Ferrell from Anchorman, you know, on her, and she was having a good time.
Well, that's good. I can assure you, in Pat's house and my house, our children are always thoroughly unimpressed with us, no matter how well we do, no matter what's going on. You know, I'm on TV every week, for God's sakes, and they're still like, "Yeah, that's great, Dad. Whatever. What's for dinner?" All right. So let's get after what's for dinner here today. And we're going to start here, of course, with the running back ranks. We're going to look at the ranks for this week in week 12. You can always go to fantasybros.com/rankings to check them out. Pat's got his ranks up here. Billy's got his. We've got a short week to talk about too, with three games on Thursday because of the holiday.
Running back rankings.
Let's start with Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara, Pat, you've got him ranked at RB12. Billy, you've got him at RB17. ECR is at 13 here. So Pat, let's talk a little bit about Alvin Kamara here. We are going to have obviously a continuation at quarterback. We're still going to have Andy Dalton this week again, much to the chagrin of Jameis Winston. So in your opinion here for Alvin Kamara, in the matchup he's got, where he's at in the ECR, do you see a little bit of a bounce back here? Because it is a tough matchup against San Fran, but you still seem to have a little bit of confidence ranking him where you have him.
I do. And it's funny, Joe, like if you look at the first 3 years of Alvin Kamara's career, 2017 to 2019, when he finished fourth, third, and ninth in fantasy points per game, half PPR, those years, he averaged 802 rushing yards, 689 receiving yards. And do you remember how many receptions he had in each of those first 3 years?
Because 81
that number. Is that 81? Correct.
There you go. Well, I'm good, baby. Again, my Kamara, kids don't care, but continue. Yeah.
So this year, Joe, Kamara's on pace for 965 rushing yards, 163 more than he averaged his first three seasons, 727 receiving yards, 38 more than he averaged those three seasons. And he's on pace for exactly 81 receptions again this year. So he's doing just fine with everything except touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He's got 3 in 9 games. And, you know, he averaged 13.4 over every other season of his career. So basically, we're just not getting the touchdowns from him. And I know that the touchdown outlook is a little bit depressed from where it was back in the Drew Brees era. But I mean, this is still a guy who's going to put up yardage, be involved in the passing game. Like, the 49ers are really good against the run. We know that. But Kamara has other paths to fantasy success this week because of his pass catching ability. And, you know, Andy Dalton's been unlocking that. And I think Kamara investors should be happy that they're not making the switch back to Jameis Winston.
Yeah, he's got 3 touchdowns. They all came in 1 game, though, unfortunately. So fantasy owners would like you to spread that out just a little bit. Billy, let's talk about Alvin Kamara here. Tough matchup against San Fran. It's a really good defense, very stout. Your thoughts this week, because I see even ECR has actually moved a little bit, even in the last couple hours. Now it has moved him down a little bit. Now he is now RB14 coming into this week. So it's getting closer and closer to where you have him. Are you surprised?
No, I think we will continue to see him closer. I think he'll stay inside the top 15, probably maybe top 16, the lowest, just because of the name Alvin Kamara. And quite frankly, he's been dominating snaps. I mean, we saw 78% last week. Week 9, saw 88%. But quite frankly, just he isn't getting the work that we need from him in order to be a top 12 back, or what we thought we were drafting of him in fantasy drafts. And you look at his carries, only 20 carries in the last 2 games, 9 targets in those 2 games. And the biggest one for me is the lack of the red zone usage. It's very concerning. He only has 17 red zone touches all year, only 2 of those at the goal line. We continue to see Taysom Hill being used in creative ways, that the vulture Taysom Hill, I always call him, that's kind of been eating into the efficiency here of Alvin Kamara. The biggest issue, though, that I think is going to be the most concerning when facing the Niners is the O-line. 29th ranked offensive line. They lost James Hurst at left tackle, and the Saints have another problem now. You know, Lan Young has like a 57.5 grade against the Rams last time they faced. And then you look at the different linemen. They've had 9 different linemen here on this offensive line for the Saints, and 8 of them have grades below 70.
Speaking of linemen this week, real quick, he wasn't on the show sheet, but I got to talk about this. Just saw the report about Saquon Barkley and what 4 of the 5 offensive linemen going to be out for that game. Where have you both adjusted Saquon Barkley? It's fresh in my mind because of that. He is at ECR 4, but I can't imagine he stays there. Billy, have you made an adjustment yet on Saquon after that news came out just about a half hour ago?
No, I don't do news updates like daily or hourly. I look at them like before kickoffs on Thursday, and then I do them again on like tweak them through the week. And then I do the major update on Sunday morning before I post. We do, you know, the site updates daily, but.
Well, you can't do that this week because Saquon's on Thursday. It's Turkey Day. Yeah, so now I'm pressing the guest right here.
Yeah, I'll more than likely update him late tonight and into the morning as we get final news. But he will definitely be adjusted. I mean, Dallas is just tough in general, defense. So that being said, though, Barkley's utilizing the passing game. We saw they lost Wandale Moore for the season, so they're going to have to utilize him even more in the passing game. So the loss of Wandale efficiency Robinson. Thank you. What'd I say, Robinson?
Well, you took Rondale Moore and Wandale Robinson, made him one person. That's Wandale Moore.
Which probably be a better receiver, honestly.
I think he plays for Southern Illinois. I'll have to check. I'm pretty sure he's on a team somewhere.
Yeah, thanks for the correction there.
It happens all the time. It's a long season, my friend. Before the YouTube comments come at you, everybody's tired. It's week 12. Give us a break. It's the holiday. All right, go ahead, Billy.
I think what we'll see in a lack of efficiency in the run game will probably be made up for it in the increased usage in the passing game. I don't think it'll be enough to get him in the top 4. So long-winded answer, yes, he'll be moved.
Okay. Pat, I assume you're going to make an adjustment too with Barkley potentially?
Yeah. I mean, with Evan Neal out, John Feliciano, Shane Lemieux, I forget all the guys.
Just
there. Basically,
4 or 5. It's almost the two guards, the center. and a tackle. They got one healthy tackle right now.
Yeah, and we saw them struggle to run the ball against the Lions last week. And hopefully that does mean a bigger role for Saquon in the passing game, because we didn't really see it last week, but I agree with Billy. Like, that's his other out. So I am probably going to move him. I think right now I've got him at running back 3, knowing that he was going to be down at least a couple of linemen. And now, like, I'm probably going to move him maybe out of the top 4 or 5.
Yeah. Oh, look, I know he wasn't on the sheet, but this is big news. People are going to want to hear about it. And I know the show's coming out later today, so I want to make sure it comes out for everybody. So let's also get to the next guy on our list here, and we'll pick up the pace on him. We'll get to Leonard Fournette here. Pat, you've got him at 30. Billy's got him at 40. ECR is at 28. We just heard the hot hand conversation coming out here from the head coach, so you always love to hear that. That always helps everybody. Pat, what do you think about Leonard Fournette here and his ability to be useful this week in the pass game?
Well, I don't know if we're going to get a hot hand from Leonard Fournette since after that 100-plus yard rushing game in week one. I mean, he's averaging 3.4 in this yards per carry in the season, but if you take out that week one game, 2.9 yards per carry on the season. And the Buccaneers had not had a running play of more than 17 yards until their last game in week 10, when Rashad White had 2 carries of over 17 yards. So he's got a lot more juice. And I saw that Greg Aumann, the longtime Buccaneers beat writer who is with The Athletic now, he said, and I quote, "I'd be very surprised if White doesn't have more snaps, touches, and yards than Fournette in Cleveland." So, I mean, straight from a guy who is around the team all the time. I do think we're going to see, like, I've got White ranked ahead of Fournette, and I've since widened the gap. Now I'm a little closer to Billy. I think I've got Fournette at running back 33. Like, if you're desperate, you might still be able to play Fournette since the Browns' run defense is so bad. But now that we don't have any buys this week, you know, there are never any buys on Thanksgiving week, you might not be that desperate. And Fournette is a guy you might want to bench.
Billy, to that point, the way you have him ranked, it seems like you think Rashad White's going to work a fair amount in this game. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think Rashad White will lead the team in touches, carries, and snap counts. You look back at just the snap count history, and this is prior, so just a heads up. I'm not even sure that Fournette plays this week. That's why I have him where I do. You know, they're saying his hip is very sore. He would have missed last week. They're saying that he's having trouble running as of right now. That does not sound promising to me for this matchup. And you look at snap counts, like weeks 1 through 3, Fournette was averaging 84% of snaps. Weeks 4 through 6, 61% of snaps. 7 through 10, 56% of snaps. I think that trend now is going to continue, especially with the injury. And you look at what Rashad White did. Now they have a plus matchup here against who are they facing? They're facing blanking
Browns.
Here. Thank you. Browns, second most points to the running back position in the league, only behind the Houston Texans. And like I said, it might be a mute point for Fournette if Rashad White's the only one on the field. So I'm leaning right now it's going to be that way. And if Fournette is out there, I'm going to say under 40% snaps.
All right, let's go to the next guy on the list, James Cook, who had a breakout game last week. Pat, you've got him at 42. Billy, you had him lower, but I know you've adjusted your ranking now to 39. ECR is at 45. I want to talk about this guy because I want to talk about whether or not fantasy managers can believe yet in James Cook. It feels like a dicey proposition to me still, but it's also a short week, Pat. So is that a case for James Cook? Because, look, you've only got 4 days here in between to prepare for this game. Do you think you could see a little bit more Cook in this one as well because you saw so much Singletary last time?
It's possible, but I tend to think he is pyrite, Joe. Fool's gold. He had 11 carries for 86 yards last week. It looked great, but he was doing it in most of it was in garbage time of a comfortable lead for the Bills against that bad Browns run defense that we were just talking about. Over his last 6 games, he hasn't played more than 16 snaps in any game. That's just not enough to hang your hat on. And 11 carries last week in 16 snaps when, you know, basically they were just trying to salt away the game late. So, I like how good he looked. It was, in a season that has not given us many encouraging signs about Cook's future, that was definitely an encouraging data point, but I don't think you can trust it for fantasy right now.
Billy, what do you make of James Cook here? As the season kind of drags on a little bit, this was kind of an eye-opening moment. Granted, it was against Cleveland, and I think that's what everybody will continue to point to, but is this the beginning of a trend, or is that just a one-off from last week?
Yeah, I agree with Pat. It's hard to trust him. That being said, it's interesting to me that he's seen more snaps than Nyheim Hines, even though they went out and traded for Nyheim Hines. So I want to see how that plays out in the coming weeks. That being said, I was high on Cooks coming into the season. I comped him to Andre Ellington. And now, you know, this week they're facing Detroit, bottom 12 versus the running back position. I'm going to kind of lean into what Pat said here, but kind of take it a step further to where I think that garbage time continues here this week against Detroit. I think they're going to game script will favor Cook, hence why I have him at 39. They'll probably, see less snaps this week for Singletary. And this running back, they're giving up 23.61 points to the running back position, Detroit is. And Buffalo is averaging 2 yards per contact per before contact per rush. And this is the third best mark in the NFL. So I'm going to say that we're going to see a little bit more James Cook this week just because of game script. And they probably lean into him a little bit more than they would if it was somebody else.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook. New FanDuel Sportsbook players, your day is about to get 20% better. The sports betting calendar couldn't be more packed, and FanDuel Sportsbook is providing you with a great new offer once you sign up with FanDuel through FanDuel.com/FPSBK. That's FanDuel.com/FPSBK. And upon your sign up, you get $5 bet on any market, and you receive $125 in free bets. That's a big-time two-for-one deal from both ourselves at Fantasy Pros and our partners over at FanDuel. They got same-game parlays, tons of new markets to bet on. You got the World Cup going on, NBA's around, NFL's still going, NHL started as well. So go over and check out FanDuel Sportsbook today and sign up again. That's FanDuel.com/FPSBK to get that action in there and get $5 bet on any market to receive $125 in free bets at FanDuel.com/FPSBK. Age and location restrictions apply. Bonus issued to non-withdrawable site credit that expires after 30 days. And now back to the action. All right, let's change it up and let's look at the guys that Billy's got ranked higher than Pat. We'll start with David Montgomery of the Bears. Billy, you've got him at RB 16. Pat's coming at 22. ECR is in a different spot. I'll get where they are and where they've moved to. So let's talk about David Montgomery, obviously with Khalil Herbert out. You've got a situation now where it's all his. Last week was pretty good. He is at 18 now. I see that's where the new movement is on him, which is right in between you guys. So kind of a pretty good consensus. Let's talk about David Montgomery and your thoughts on him in this matchup this coming week against the Jets defense. That's been very good.
I'll start off by saying that I'm not a big David Montgomery fan. I have never really have been. That being said,
that's another consensus I think we can all get to.
That being said, though, he was my start of the week last week. He was one of my most highly owned players in DFS, and it was simply due to the fact that Khalil Herbert got injured. I mean, prior to the injury, Herbert was 11th in the league in rushing yards and had been playing roughly 30% of the snaps. I had estimated that we were going to see close to 80% of the snaps for Montgomery, and that's exactly what we saw, 80%, which was the third highest among all running backs in Week 11, trailing only Josh Jacobs by half a percent, and Najee, who saw 91.8%. That was after Warren left hurt. So anytime you have this amount of snap share, you're bound to score fantasy points. I want that player on my rosters those years, even if his name is David Montgomery. If he's seeing that type of snap share, I want him to play.
All right, so obviously we're playing him, but I guess the expectations, Pat, that's the question against this Jets defense, because, look, you saw them stymie a very good Patriots running attack. I mean, Stevenson's been running amok. Harris had that one big run against them. Obviously, they were working against the bad quarterback play, which they've made a change at quarterback, the New York Jets, and it's about time. But are you tempering your expectations for Montgomery this week a bit?
I am a little bit because of this Jets defense, Joe. As you said, they've been just terrific. They're fifth in DVOA against the pass and eighth against the run. As you mentioned, other than that one big Damian Harris run last week, like they pretty much held the Patriots running game in check, and the Patriots had run the ball fairly well recently. Volume is king. We know that. And it seems like Montgomery is poised to get a lot of volume, especially since the Bears are going to have to, they're either not going to start Fields if he's severely hurt, or they're going to protect him. I mean, there's no way he's going to run it 20 times on a bad shoulder this week. So the volume should be there. I just don't know what the touchdown upside is for Montgomery. Like, you know, the odds of the Bears scoring, I don't know, over 1.5 touchdowns, I'm betting against that. probably. So
bang against Trevor Siemian. A lot of people have made a lot of money if it ends up being him. So
it's been
a profitable experience in the past. If indeed Fields can't go, but you're absolutely right to that extent about Montgomery. The volume's there. The matchup is tough, but you're playing him anyway, most likely, but you have to build in more with that expectation. I think that's what the guys are getting at. So look to your flex spots to see if you can get a little bit more boom there. Samaje Perine looks to be trending in the direction of starting. Now, a lot of your rankings, guys, I know is based on waiting for more news, but let's talk about Perine. I know, Pat, you've got him at 48. Billy, you've got him at 33. Consensus is at 32. News today continued to be that Joe Mixon was not practicing, so it seems as though we're heading in that direction. Let's live in a world where Mixon doesn't play, because I think that's more likely. Billy, if indeed that is the case, how high are you willing to move Samaje Perine? I know everyone was super excited about the four catches, the three touchdowns, but he does have Tennessee this week, another defense that likes to drag you into the mud, and it's a little bit tough. So what are your thoughts on Perine without Joe Mixon, if indeed that is the case in week 12?
I think there's better options just regardless if Mixon is not on the field. You look at Tennessee, they're top 10 in pressure rate. They're second in the run defense, allowing just 3.8 yards per carry. You know, Mixon had that concussion last week. The average time this season is like 6 to 10 days. I'm just not sold. You have no teams on a bye this week, that's why I have him slightly below ECR. And it's just tough when you look at every player that you have available to you at your disposal and on your fantasy rosters and your bench, whatever it may be. There's probably better options than Samaje Perine. I know he scored 3 times last week. I don't expect it to happen again this week. They're playing, you know, a very tough defense against the run. I'm just not sold on Perine this week.
Pat, is this more fake gold?
I think he's going to be in a similar basket to David Montgomery if he plays. Like, a lot of volume, but not a very good matchup. I think I'm going to slot him. Right now I've got Latavius Murray at running back 24. I think I'm probably going to slot Perine in right behind Murray if Mixon is out this week. So that would be basically top end running back 3. You know, good bet for 18 touches if he plays. But again, like, that Titans run defense is really, really tough. So, I don't know what the odds of Jeffrey Simmons getting back for the Titans are. Like, if Simmons is back, I would really kind of lean against playing Perine if you've got better options.
Understandably so. Hope that's not a waste of fab for a lot of people out there. It's hard because, like, in desperate times, you want to go pick up that guy. You don't know if concussion issues linger. And Perine had been very, very efficient. So it's a pretty good pickup, but again, playing him this week, that's a different story. We'll see if you can plug him in there. Probably more of a desperation play at this point with the way things are looking. Deonta Foreman, he's got a new quarterback too. Everybody's got a new quarterback. No Davis Mills anymore. No Zach Wilson anymore. And Sam Darnold is now the quarterback yet again for the Carolina Panthers. Now, I know none of us know exactly what that means, so I'm not going to ask that. You've got Foreman at 26, Billy. Pat, you've got him at 31. ECR's got him at 27. So, Billy, in your opinion, how confident are you in Foreman, and more, I guess, importantly, can Darnold go back to any sort of respectability for this offense? Because we did see it in some stretches early last year. Can he do that this year enough to make Foreman a viable flex guy this week?
So confidence is a strong word. I'm not very confident in Foreman.
Lowercase c. How about that?
I think the fact that Darnold is starting is good for this offense. I think he'll be able to push the ball down a little bit more, open up some more run games. That being said, we did see Foreman's lowest snap count of the year since taking over in the starting role week 7 after the Christian McCaffrey trade. Prior to this week, he averaged 51.7% of the snaps, and then he only saw 38.6 last week. Chuba Hubbard appeared healthy, saw 40.4. Blackshear was still involved, saw 19.3. It's clear that Blackshear and Chuba are the passing down favorites. They combined for 19.4% of the target share versus Foreman, who saw 3.7. I want to see how that role develops here this week, but news today was he didn't practice either, so got to keep an eye on that as well.
All right, Pat, your thoughts on Foreman and basically this offense in Carolina with another quarterback in 2022 here.
Yeah, Foreman's pathway to success is pretty narrow. I mean, it's like claustrophobically narrow. It's like Bruce Willis crawling through the air ducts in Die Hard narrow. Like,
come to Carolina, throw a few passes. That's what they said.
I mean, Foreman's a complete non-factor as a pass catcher. We know that. That's kind of been his shtick throughout his career. Uh-huh. And as Billy said last week, he played one fewer snap than Chuba Hubbard. Blackshear is still involved. Basically, if the Panthers fall behind, Foreman is probably not going to have a good game. He's had 3 100-yard rushing days this season, 2 of them in Panther wins, 1 of them in an overtime loss to the Falcons. So basically, the Panthers need to be like close or winning for him to hit. They're home underdogs against the Broncos, and we know the Broncos aren't great shakes. But I guess your hope, if you're a Foreman investor, is that Carolina shows a healthy respect for the excellent Denver pass defense, tries to run the heck out of the ball against a middle of the road Denver run defense, and Foreman gets 25 plus carries. But narrow pathway, man. Like, there are only a few ways this could go right for you, and a lot of ways it could go wrong.
I'd like to point out that Bruce Willis made it through the air duct, though.
He did.
He did make it through.
That's right. All right, let's go to I actually have a Christmas ornament of Bruce Willis in the air duct. An old producer of mine made and sent to me.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's awesome. I can't wait to put that on the tree on Friday. Before we get to a little throwdown action, I want to remind everybody that we have got a lot going on here at Fantasy Pros. We've also got the autopilot feature available on my playbook. So if you don't know what that is, I will tell you. If you have leagues where you've just said, this one's not going anywhere, but I want to still set lineups, I'm kind of busy, it's the holidays, well, autopilot is perfect, because full autopilot basically turns on your optimal lineup for all of those leagues, so you can set it and forget it, basically, still be a good league mate, still not be that pushover that lets somebody else walk into the playoffs because you didn't set a lineup or get the best lineup you could, and it allows you to come off smelling like roses. So go to fantasypros.com/myplaybook or download the app, sync your teams for free. Go check out the autopilot feature and all of the features that we have. If you go to fantasypros.com/offers, all you have to do is make a small deposit in one of our partner sites. And just like that, you can upgrade to 6 free months of our Fantasy Pros tools, including autopilot, including setting all of your lineups from one spot. That's right. If you got 6 different teams on 6 different sites, you could set all of those lineups in one spot over on Fantasy Pros My Playbook. So download the app or go to fantasypros.com/myplaybook today and use the features like autopilot. It's good for you. Let's get to the throwdown here. Somebody that I've got higher than consensus, and the boys can tell me why I'm right or wrong. I've got Jeff Wilson as RB8. Yes, I'm very bullish this week on Jeff Wilson. Last time we saw him, he was RB6. This week, he's coming off a bye, and he gets the Houston Texans. Yay! Everyone's favorite. So I'm excited about what Coach McDaniel can bring to this offense with a little bit extra time to prepare against a team that's not very good. So, Pat, am I right or is ECR right?
So I've got him a little behind ECR at RB17, Joe. And I'm being conservative just because I don't know exactly what the Wilson Mostert split is going to look like. It seems like Wilson has taken a clear lead here. But like, it wouldn't totally shock me if it were more of a 50-50. But the good thing is, Joe, like, opposing running backs, opponents are averaging 29.1 running back carries against the Texans this year, and they're giving up 5.3 yards a carry. So there might be enough for Wilson and Mostert to both be like close to RB1 territory this week.
Billy, help me out. You got to have Wilson higher than
I have him at 9, so I'm right next to
you. All right. Yeah. The Italians are starting to break Jeff Wilson.
You look at snap share, and I think it's pretty evident that Wilson's going to continue to out-snap Mostert. I mean, week one, he out-snapped him. Week two, it was a 60-20 split almost. And so it's continued in week it's going to continue here. So Houston's allowing 5.1 yards per carry on the ground. It does not look like that's going to stop anytime soon. They're literally dead last in fantasy points allowed at the position. I love Jeff Wilson this week, and I think that he's going to go off against Houston.
Wide receiver rankings.
When it comes to wide receivers, we're looking for some healthy bodies. Week 12, that's what we're looking for. And let's start with one that we hope, fingers crossed, is actually healthy now. We shall see. It's a hot button guy. It's Keenan Allen, one of the most traded guys on the Sleeper app in fantasy over the last week. So, Pat, you've got him ranked at wide receiver 21. I know, Billy, you've got him at 33. ECR's got him at 26, right in between. Pat, what are your thoughts on Keenan Allen? Is it safe to go out and love again?
I think it is. We saw him get in 44 snaps last week against the Chiefs, had 5 catches for 94 yards, including a gorgeous catch down the right sideline, laying out for a ball that was slightly overthrown, fully extended, coming down with it. So it was great to see him get that fairly full arsenal of snaps in. Like, that's an encouraging sign. Now he's going up against the Cardinals, and the Cardinals, man, I can't wait to see how this works out, because they have been playing like hybrid safety linebacker, cornerback Isaiah Simmons. They've been having him cover slot receivers. Isaiah Simmons is almost 240 pounds. Like, is that guy going to be able to hang with a route running artiste like Keenan Allen? Man, I like Allen in that matchup a lot. So I'm pretty bullish on him, especially if Mike Williams is out this week after retweaking his high ankle sprain last week.
One can only assume that's the direction we're going. Now, Billy, I know your ranking right now at 33 of Keenan Allen kind of bakes in that you're starting him. It's just your expectation for him. So that being said, you're expecting more of a wide receiver 3 kind of performance. Maybe you see the same upside as Pat, but what do you think about Keenan Allen in this week in week 12?
I don't fully trust Keenan Allen. Last week he said that he was supposed to be on a snap count, and after Mike Williams exited with his ankle injury again, that he was forced into a larger role, and that forced role was 67% of snaps. He hasn't been healthy all year. Let's face it. You know, that hamstring injury has been reoccurring. He's only seen 89 snaps all season. The plus side is he does get Arizona. He should be facing off versus Antonio Hamilton, who's 77th ranked to the cornerback position. I just don't trust the hamstring. I could be re-aggravated at any point. And I think that they're going to continue to lean on Josh Palmer. So I don't fully trust Keenan Allen yet.
If you had to choose between, let's say, Keenan Allen and somebody like Curtis Samuel, who's really threading the needle but somehow does it every week, because of your concern with the hamstring, would you start Samuel or would you start Allen?
I would start Samuel.
Fascinating. There you go. All right, let's go to the next guy on the list here. Allen, I love no hesitation, too. That's why I love Billy. You ask him a question, he's like, boom, there it is, okay? No hemming, no hawing, just facts. Allen Robinson, I don't know if this is a fact or not, but Allen Robinson was relevant last week he was relevant. It's a short window. He did catch a touchdown in that game. We assume we're going to be without Matthew Stafford in this game. Now, Pat, you've got him as wide receiver 36. Billy's got him at 27. There's been an adjustment there. And then ECR still lagging behind when it comes to Allen Robinson, and rightfully so. He's been grossly disappointing. So this is sort of one of those rankings that's all over the place, but he is floating around as somebody you have to at least consider starting this week. I know we have a full slate of games, but Pat, what do you make of the situation here with Allen Robinson? The Rams offense continues to devolve every single week. No Daryl Henderson now. He was released earlier this week, and I see Allen Robinson now at wide receiver 41. The most updated ranking. So he's moved up a little bit. So what are your expectations, if any, for Robinson this week?
Boy, they're not that high, Joe, because we don't know who's going to play quarterback for the Rams. Matthew Stafford is back in the concussion protocol just 3 days after coming out of it. So the guess is that he is probably not going to play. We saw Bryce Perkins come in for him last week. It might be John Wolford. I think he was dealing with like a neck injury. We just don't know, but whoever it's going to be, it's probably not going to be pretty for the Rams passing game. And like, even with Stafford in there, Robinson has not seen more than 7 targets in a game all season or had more than 63 receiving yards. Like, yes, I guess he's the number one receiver in this offense, but I mean, in any given week, it could be Ben Skowronek, Van Jefferson, Tyler Higbee, one of the running backs. Like, the chance of a ceiling game here is pretty slim. So I'm almost worried that I've got him too high at wide receiver 36 and might drop him before Sunday.
Billy, back-to-back weeks here for Robinson without Cup. 4 for 44, 4 for 47. The only difference is he had a touchdown last week. So is that pretty much who he is? It's 4 for 47 and you're just hoping for a touchdown?
I think that's now the upside, because they announced today Bryce Perkins is starting at quarterback. And I am not thrilled about that. 56% completion percentage on his 11 pass attempts in his career so far. You know, very raw. he was wide receiver 17 last week, but that was because of the touchdown. It was interesting enough to see his snaps were reduced actually versus last 3 weeks versus last week. So he saw his 3 week average was 91%. He saw 82.8% last week in week 11. He was out snapped by Ben Skowronek. It is a plus matchup against Kansas City, but I don't think it's going to matter with Perkins at quarterback.
No, probably not. Not against Kansas City, at least. That's for sure. All right, let's move on to the next guy, Sky Moore, speaking of Kansas City. So wide receiver 49, Pat, you've got him there. Billy's got him at wide receiver 67. ECR is still dragging behind because they're not exactly sure what to make of him. They have him in the 70s. But I want to talk about Moore because this is one of those players in those deeper leagues. You saw a little bit of productivity last week at him. 5 for 6 for 63. He had 9 half PPR points. He was wide receiver 36 last week. Tony likely out. Juju, we're still waiting on official word. So in a world where, let's say we don't get Juju this week or Juju's limited, is Sky Moore somebody in a deeper league you can stream this week, in your opinion, Pat?
I think he is. And if Juju is out, then I would have Sky Moore just inside the top 50. I've since tentatively moved him down to right around where Justin Watson is at, like wide receiver 55, I think. Moore played 27 snaps last week, ran 16 routes, and it's pretty impressive that he was targeted on 6 of 16 routes. Kind of a small sample size, but that's like 37.5% of his routes where the ball comes in his direction. And it's a ball coming from Patrick Mahomes, the hottest passer on the planet. So, Hardman is out. Kadarius Toney is almost surely going to be out, and Juju could be out. So, at worst, Sky Moore is going to be the wide receiver 4 playing behind Justin Watson. Possibly he jumps Watson based on his pretty productive week 11. And, it's possible he's either the number 2 or the number 3 this week. And like, we know the dude was talented. He was a second round draft pick. And, there was talk this spring that he might be a first rounder. I think there's a good chance he passes up Watson on the depth chart, possibly as early this week. And like, he just showed us that he's capable of putting numbers up even with a snap share of less than 50%. So, in this offense with Patrick Mahomes as the facilitator, like I think he is an interesting deep league play.
Billy, even if Tony and Juju were both somehow cleared, you have to imagine they're limited. Does that allow for Sky Moore to work his way in, or is it a scenario where both those guys have to be out to even get him considered?
Both of them have to be out in order to be considered, I think.
See, again, no hesitation, Pat. You see this guy? I love it.
Pat and I are looking at things in a different lens on this perspective with Sky Moore. Even with them out last week, Juju Hardman, as well as Tony leaving early with the hamstring injury, he still only saw 41.5% of snaps. Justin Watson saw 87.7%. Now, I think there is a scenario where that bridge kind of, that gap closes. I don't think that he'll outsnap Watson, though. I think he's the clear favorite ahead of Sky Moore. And I think it was interesting, a telling sign that they didn't fully trust Sky Moore in his development when they went out and got Tony on top of it. So there is a scenario, though, where I think that he could produce in that, wide receiver 40, 50 range. I have him at 67. I think if they're both listed out, I'll have him where Pat has Watson in that 53, 54 range. Juju had that big hit. It was a nasty hit. So it's going to take a little bit longer than that 6 to 10 days, I think, for the concussion protocol. But if Juju passes, Sky Moore is not even in my top 70, I don't think. And then if he does not clear, I think the game script, them getting ahead against this Perkins-led, Rams team would open up the gate for more Sky Moore snaps. So there is a scenario or an out in which Sky Moore does see that snap share. I just think it's going to take a lot to get there.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Fight Camp. This is the time of year where everyone's looking to get in better shape, especially after the holidays and all the eating we do. The problem is, it's cold outside. It's hard to go out and run, hard to go out and exercise. And sometimes you don't have time for the gym. That's where Fight Camp comes in. Fight Camp is a way to get fitter, happier, and you, my friends, are worth fighting for. Get stronger and get lean. Get in better shape here with Fight Camp, which brings you the best workouts in the world right to your home, and they make it fun. Explore thousands of workouts led by expert trainers that meet you on your time. No classes at the gym at a certain time you can't make. No, no, no. Fight Camp is for you at home, and you can go head-to-head against rivals from across the country or head-to-head with rivals in your living room, and you can learn the basics and sharpen your skills over time through tailored paths. You get a full body workout of boxing combined with plyometric workouts that bring you the best of both cardio and strength training all wrapped into one and give you an intense full body workout. We promise you afterwards you're going to be sore, and the full package too. Fight Camp comes with all the gear you need to start boxing. With the full package included, you get the freestanding punching bag, the boxing gloves, quick hand wraps, and the smart punch trackers. And it takes up less space than you think. If you have enough room to do a push-up, then you have enough room for Fight Camp. So make room for Fight Camp in your new healthy lifestyle, or your already healthy one, if you want to take it to the next level. Join the biggest boxing community in the world without leaving your home at Fight Camp. And you can get started today at Fight Camp for as low as just $9 a month by going to fightcamp.com/pros. Again, that's fightcamp.com/pros. Get in shape. Get ready for the fight of your life at fightcamp.com/pros. And now back to the action. All right, let's talk about a guy who's coming off a pretty darn good week himself, and that's Joshua Palmer. Let's flip the script around here. Billy, you've got him at wide receiver 22. Pat's got him at 35. ECR's got him at 30. Billy, it's hard not to like what you saw last week out of Joshua Palmer, but again, with Keenan Allen potentially healthier, I know this kind of ties in the first guy we were talking about earlier, but if you're lower on Allen, does that mean that you are obviously higher on what Palmer can give you this week?
Yeah, what goes up must come down, right? And that for me is Palmer. Again, I just don't fully trust Keenan Allen. I don't think we're going to see a full amount of snaps. I think we'll see more than 67, which is going to be a benefit to this offense. I think that'll also benefit Palmer. You know, this is very news dependent on, you know, Keenan Allen's health, very dependent upon Mike Williams, of course, as well, dependent upon Everett as well. So there's a lot of, you know, determining factors that will eventually, you know, move his ECR. But you got to like the snaps, 92.3% last week, you know, averaging 10 targets a week since week six, you know, 2 100-yard games in that stretch. He should draw coverage from Marco Wilson, who was 43rd ranked cornerback in the league. But, you know, it also should be a shootout as well. So you look at the second high, I think it's the second highest over under the week, 47.5. The only game higher is the Bills Detroit game at 54. And Arizona gives up the second most points per game in the league at 26.9 average. So I like the matchup. I like the shootout potential, and I like Palmer.
Pat, after a tough matchup there, San Fran, in between two really good games here for Palmer, 8 of 10 for 106 against Atlanta, 8 of 10 for 106 against Kansas City. So Palmer's basically balled out, except for obviously against San Fran, pretty good defense there. So do you think that Palmer deserves a little bit more respect, especially with the likelihood that Mike Williams will not be active for this game?
Well, Joe, here's the thing. I think Joshua Palmer stakeholders are going to understand what I'm talking about on this, because he's played 7 games that Keenan Allen did not play in this year. And in those 7 games, Palmer had 1 100-yard game and 1 touchdown, and he finished with under 60 yards in 5 of the 7. So, like, injuries to other Chargers receivers have not necessarily given Palmer a huge boost. I mean, he had 2 games where both Allen and Mike Williams were out. One of those games, 8 for 106, very nice. The other one, 3 for 43. So, like, those injuries have definitely not been a consistent windfall for Josh Palmer here. Now, I do like the matchup with Marco Wilson. I mean, I don't think he's going to see Wilson on every snap, but, you know, no matter what Wilson is rated, like, that's a matchup I like for whatever wide receiver is going against him. So, like, Palmer is going to be an interesting guy. I think he's going to be the subject of a lot of start-sit dilemmas in week 12.
Another guy, probably a lot of starts at dilemma, Paris Campbell, who's been trending in the right direction the last few weeks with Matt Ryan back under center. Billy, you've got him as wide receiver 39. ECR is at 38 where you are. Pat is at 45. It seems to be a good trend. It seems to be a good matchup here. The secondary has not played well for Pittsburgh this year. You could throw the ball on them all day. So do you think Paris Campbell is somebody that people should be considering putting in their lineups?
Yeah, he's been sneaky good lately. Wide receiver 20 the last 3 weeks. Gets the Steelers, giving up the most fantasy points to wide receiver position, which is 42.68 fantasy points a game. That's a lot. You know, Steelers have given up 2,025 receiving yards and 14 touchdowns on the season. He's going to face Arthur Mallett, 65th ranked cornerback. We saw him run an 86.6% route rate the last 3 weeks. Lot to like about Campbell. It's just a matter of trusting Matty Ice in this offense and how much they're going to use JT. So I think he's in the definitely in the flex worthy consideration, but seeing there's no buys, you might have better options.
That's the key, right? We have more options, but also the trust is, again, the lowercase t, not the uppercase. So Fitz, when you're looking here at Paris Campbell, what's your trust level?
Yeah, so over the last 4 weeks, he's wide receiver 36 in fantasy points per game among receivers with at least two games. So he's been, you know, pretty good, not necessarily a slam dunk start. Stretch it out to 6 weeks, and he's been the wide receiver 18 in fantasy points per game. If you, put that minimums games played threshold in there. I really do like the matchup against Arthur Mallett. He's averaged 1.59 yards per route into his coverage. That's pretty bad. But like with no buys, the four guys I have directly ahead of him are Deontay Johnson, Darnell Mooney, Treylon Burks, and Drake London. And like, I think you could almost argue for those five guys in any sort of order. You know, maybe Drake London gets a bump with Kyle Pitts out. Deontay Johnson, really disappointing this season, but he's obviously a really good player. Darnell Mooney, who knows what to expect, a guy who could make his fantasy quota on one play. Treylon Burks, do we buy the resurgence against the Packers last week? So I'd kind of put, Campbell into that basket with a season high of 76 yards and only four games with more than 43 yards. So, yeah, he's on an uptick, but there's definitely some downside here, too.
I call it the flip your coin range.
Yeah.
It pretty much feels like it. All right, let's go deeper here. Let's talk about Jarvis Landry. Guest, you've got him at wide receiver 51, Billy. Pat, you've got him at 58. ECR has actually got him at 48, which I thought was kind of interesting here as we're pushing through. And that obviously is, you know, always slightly volatile. Yesterday it was 48. Today now it's 52 as I'm looking, as it has moved a bit. But it is a tough matchup here against San Fran. We know that, but also the tough matchup sometimes means we figure they're playing from behind. Now, obviously, the Arizona Cardinals were struggling in that. They couldn't move the football, but there's been times here where you've seen Jarvis Landry, where you've seen, you know, Chris Olave and this offense be able to answer back. Billy, do you think that Jarvis Landry this week in deeper leagues is somebody you can consider flexing, or is the matchup just completely take him out for you?
If it was 2015, sure, not 2022. he's only played six games all year, decreased snaps last week, even versus week 10 when he was first week active back. Saw 56.1% last week for 78.7. You know, 238 yards all season, and 114 of those came week one versus Atlanta. So I'm not confident in Jarvis Landry. I don't think they're going to be able to move the ball that well versus the Niners. He only saw 59.4% route participation last week. The only plus side that I can think about with Jarvis Landry is that he did see three red zone targets last week. So
that was going to be where I was going.
I mean, catch a touchdown. That's what
he did have one. You took the words right out of my mouth. That was going to be the setup. He had a touchdown and he had a few targets in the red zone. Is that enough to get you excited at all, Pat, in deeper leagues about Landry?
Not really, Joe. I'll be totally honest.
All right,
with you.
I tried. I tried.
Yeah, the touchdown last week was the first positive thing he's done for fantasy since week one, when he had seven catches for 114 yards. Five other games this season, his yardage totals have been 25, 22, 7, 37, and 33. So Olave is the alpha receiver there. They rotate in a bunch of other receivers. I can't even keep track of them in New Orleans with Callaway and Traquan and Kevin White coming out of the fog.
Kevin White coming back. Shaheed. That was one I did not have on my bingo card in 2022. Yeah, I did not have that one.
They throw to Juwan Johnson. And oh, by the way, Taysom Hill had a season high 24 snaps last week, and Hill playing quarterback is generally not a good thing for Saints wide receivers. So, I'm not really on board with Landry.
All right, here's throwdown. Let's go. It's throwdown time. I'm going to bring up a player I'm higher on than ECR, and the boys are going to tell me if I'm right or wrong. It's DPJ. Me and Mr. Jones have got a thing going on. Donovan Peoples-Jones has been pretty solid here these last few weeks. He's got a massive break against Tampa this week. I understand there's a little bit of concern there. I get it. But I'm going to make a case here. I've got him at wide receiver 29. ECR is at 38. I love the consistency. Pat, am I a little bit too excited about DPJ with this matchup against the Bucs?
Maybe just a smidge, Joe. I am warming to DPJ. I mean, with at least four catches and 50 yards in seven straight games, that is a sturdy floor. That is a nice Italian marble floor, Joe. so yeah. But here's the thing, like David Njoku is back. That's going to put a little bit of target pressure on DPJ. I don't love the matchup this week either, with the Buccaneers having the very good outside cornerback duo of Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean. So, you know, I like him. I have Jones just above that tier we were talking about with Paris Campbell and Deontay Johnson and those guys. Like, he's a little higher than that. So I think he is in play as a flex guy or a wide receiver three this week. But I'm just kind of right around consensus on him.
See, Billy, I think after that splash game from Amari Cooper last week, everybody's going to be looking at him. Don't let Amari Cooper beat you, all this stuff. Pat's right. It's another week in, and Njoku came back last week, but you expect him to work a little bit more probably in the second week back than the first. What do you think about DPJ this week?
I'm with Pat on this one. I have him in that same tier. You do like to see the snaps, 94.2% of snaps the last 3 weeks, 98.7% last week alone. He has been sneaky good, wide receiver 33 or better since week six in PPR leagues. He saw 95% of routes participations last week, 91.85% in a 3 week trend. I do think Njoku eats into, you know, his targets. That being said, we're a week removed from having Watson back. So rest of the season, I think the outlook for DPJ is going to be, you know, improving this week in particular. I'm around ECR and not as thrilled as you are.
All right, there you go. Before we get to your questions, I want to remind everybody too, not just for Thanksgiving, but every week we're out there on Betting Pros giving you all the betting information too. You got Matthew Friedman, you got Pat, myself, Thor Nystrom, Scott Bogman. They're all out there helping you get all your betting situated, ready to go, locked and loaded. So make sure if you haven't already, subscribe to the Betting Pros podcast. Go to bettingpros.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe today. The Betting Pro stuff has been off the chain. We've been crushing the Monday and Thursday night live streams. Friedman and Fitz and I do that Monday look ahead every single week to some great content, college football, NFL, everything. It's all there for you at Betting Pros.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
All right, here we go. This is a question straight from our Discord listener mailbag. And of course, fantasypros.com/chat, free to join Discord. But you upgrade, you get the AMAs, you get the chance to be famous here on the show. This is from Jacob D8, trade Gabe Davis and Pacheco for AJ Brown. Pat Fitzmaurice, what do you think of this deal?
Oh man, this is going to be an unpopular take in some circles, but like AJ Brown is kind of a glorified Gabe Davis. Like he just, like the same sort of ups and downs. It's like a roller coaster ride with AJ Brown too. He's better. Like he's the much better player. He's the better fantasy asset.
Yeah, but like, one plays with Josh Allen, elbow issue aside.
And I kind of think like Isaiah Pacheco, who's on the upswing, obviously, and now Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a high ankle sprain. I think Pacheco more than bridges the gap between AJ Brown and Gabe Davis. So I wouldn't do this.
It's really hard to answer the question without seeing the makeup of your roster. I think if you're running back needy, I would say you're fine trading away AJ Brown to get Gabe Davis and Pacheco. If you're fine at running back, I think this is probably a pretty fair trade depending upon the makeup. I would rather be on the Pacheco side, just because he's now the leading running back inside Kansas City. We want to have a piece of that offense. Gabe Davis is, you know, I agree with Pat. They've had similar trajectories in terms of their splits and games and fantasy points. And I think that we're going to continue to see it. Plus, anytime you can have a piece of the Bills offense, I think you want it. So I'm going to go on the Pacheco side of this trade. But I think it really breaks down to the makeup of your rosters.
He's Billy Muzio. Follow him on Twitter at FFMuzio. Billy, it was great to talk to you. Great to have you on the show today. Go to fantasypros.com/rankings. Again, if you want to see all the ranks and all the experts and all the ECR to set your lineups. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Fight Camp. Head over to fightcamp.com/pros. Again, that's fightcamp.com/pros to learn how Fight Camp is changing your home fitness experience. Get fitter, get happier, because you are worth fighting for over at fightcamp.com/pros. And experience season-long wins without the season-long waits. Sign up today with FanDuel Sportsbook to get a $5 bet on any market and receive $125 in free bets by heading to FanDuel.com/FPSBK. That's FanDuel.com/FPSBK. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Billy and Pat, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids. Have a great holiday.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at YouTube.com/FantasyPros.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.